कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो वर्स 9 यज्ञार्थान् कर्मणोऽन्यत्र लोकोऽयं कर्मबन्धनाः तदर्थं कर्म कौन्देय मुक्तसङ्गसमाचराः कृष्ण सेज़ टू अर्जुन दैट वी सॉ बिफोर दैट ऑल कर्मम शुड बी टर्न्ड इन्टू अ यज्ञम दैट इज़ अ वे द लाइफ शुड बी लेड एज़ फार एज़ कृष्ण इज़ कंसर्न्ड सो Krishna also spoke about that one who transforms his life as a yajñam, purely as a yajñam, he would not have any difficulty in living in this world. That is Krishna's instruction and guarantee in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying here that A person who has yatnyarthal karmano anyatra logoyam karmabandhanam. That other karmam, all what we execute in this world is karmabandhanam. Bandhanam means bondage. So, sometimes it is very difficult to understand this, because people may ask this question again, that how can this happen, how can that happen? That's very difficult to answer that question, because there are so many things happening in the material nature, unknown to us. It happens. And sometimes, whether you call it as material nature, whether it is God, you call it as God, whether it's you call it as some other unknown power, whatever it may be, there is a mystery behind this. That mystery Krishna is talking about. Krishna's way of doing things is also a mystery. Because one thing Krishna says, if one has no desire, any desires inside, then all that what he needs will get done in a natural way. It will happen. What his essential things, what he requires for his maintenance, will happen in a natural way. On the other hand, when one has developed a lot of desires and greed inside, nothing will happen to him. No, nothing will be a wonder for him. In other words, that he would feel he is depending on his false ego completely for his life in this world. In other words, based on his false ego, he executes his karma, and accordingly he expects a result, and sometimes the result may not come. All these things are there. So the person who has no desires inside, he is the one who, as far as Krishna is concerned, one who has desires inside is a beggar. One who has no desires inside, he is liberated. So, inside a lot of desire, and it is a mystery for such a person. Life is a mystery. In one who has no desire, one who has a lot of desires, he does not understand. But spiritual life is a mystery. Mystery in the sense that one cannot understand the mystery of spiritual life. What is that mystery of spiritual life? That once the desires have gone inside from there, then you can observe a lot of wonders happening around you. A lot of wonderful things happening around you. Because one thing is sure, what has to happen will happen. Controller is Krishna. Krishna is the controller behind it. According to his desires, everything is happening in this world. So one who has given up desires, he is completely under Krishna's shelter. In other words, not only that, to such an extent that one who is free from desires, whatever he says will also come true. It has to happen. But then what is yajna means? Yajna means to stay in that situation without false ego. That my existence as false ego doesn't exist. So for him, whatever desires are there necessities are there in this world, material nature automatically provides that. That is called, Krishna calls it as ishtakamadhuk. You will see there a word used there, ishtakamadhuk. Ishtakamadhuk means that he is always engaged in yajnam. If you look at that verse, you will see there. Verse 10. Sahayatnya prajasrishtva puravaja prajabadi anena prasveshuddha yashavostishta kamadhuk. That ishta kamadhuk. Krishna is saying that a person who has no desire, he is, for him, material nature is like a kamadhuk. That means ishta kamadhuk. Whatever he is desiring will be provided. Actually, he has no desire. In other words, his even bodily maintenance is not a big issue for him. It is provided by the nature somehow. That therefore, he says here, always perform yajnam. Make life as a yajnam. We have deva yajnam, pitri yajnam, Manushayajnam, Devayajnam is, and so many different yajnams. Then the rishis, to the sages, we have a debt towards them. And then yajnam for all other living entities in this world. In this way, especially in grihastha's life, householder life, for a sannyasi and for a brahmachari, who are living a life of a sannyasi or brahmachari, they haven't got that responsibility. It is the grihastha who has to perform all the yajnam. And if a grihastha does not perform yajnam, then it becomes a great sinful thing. That's why Krishna is expecting from grihasthas. Sahayajna praja srishtva purovaja prajabadi anena prasavishidva eshavostishta kamadhuk. Therefore, in the past, if you look, you will see this is the old way of life, that in the ancient times people lived a life like that. They have cooked food and all the living entities in the house were fed. The crow, the cat, the dog, the cows, the squirrel, and even the snake were fed. So this was a reason. Sometimes you will see in the ancient temples there are snake temples also existing because of this. So grihastha, a householder, has to look after everybody. That is householder's responsibility. The householder ashram is like that. It's meant for maintaining other living entities and performing yajnam. Basically, that is a householder's responsibility. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sridharana Maharshi talks about the Sadajara Varnana. That is the 14th to 15th chapter. If you look, you will see there. Almanaha Putravat Pashed. A grihastha is supposed to see all other living entities as his children. Almanaha Putravat Pashed. So, Sridharana Maharshi says to whom? To Dharmaputra Maharaj, to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that he says, not only that you should give them food, you should see them as his children. You should see them as his children for all other living entities. And he has to think what is good for them and provide them what is required. That does not mean that you have to embrace them and kiss them. But what it says is that to all living entities, we have a debt towards all other living entities. None of them are in a separate compartment. You can't put them in a separate compartment in the material nature. All of us are mutually connected to each other. All living entities are connected to each other. Because they are connected to each other, that we also have a responsibility to. From our side, Krishna is saying that we have a responsibility towards them. Not only we have any right to take their life away, on the other hand, we have a responsibility to look after them, all other living in it. That is what that verse is saying, that sahayatya praja srishtva purovaja prajabadi anena prasavishidva eshave stvishta kamadhuk. That purovaja prajabadi, that sahayatya praja srishtva, perform sacrifices and mutually help each other in that way. And if you do like that, everything is a part of yajnam. And even living in this world is a yajnam as far as the body is concerned. And if we live in such a way that our life is useful for other living entities, then all the nerves in the body will get purified. And our consciousness will get purified, intelligence will get purified. And without any distress, if you keep on giving to other living entities and constantly material nature will provide all our needs. We should not look where it's coming from, because if you start looking at it, trying to find out where it's coming from, then you will lose that mystery behind it. You won't understand the mystery. Somehow or the other it's coming. It's come from somewhere, what is necessary. But you don't know the source where it's coming from. Sometimes these are the experiences. Sometimes you cook for food for 10 or 15 people. But 30, 40 people will be able to get fed by that. If you ask how, you can't answer that. If one has the heart to give food, then even if you prepare food for 10 or 20 people, 30, 40 people will be able to eat from that. Where from this has come, that you can't ask that question. And this is also is shown in that Draupadi was disrobed, isn't it? It is to show this, that Draupadi's prayers were such that Draupadi lived a life like that. And you can see that Krishna has provided that, what Draupadi needed at the right moment. So if the surrender is there, it will happen to us also. If the surrender is there, it will happen to us. There is all kinds of siddhis in this world, which is unknown to us. These are things which cannot be explained, but one has to experience in life. Unknowingly, from somewhere, some quarters, help comes. Because a person is pure, he lives a life without desires, without cultivating unwanted desires, and always maintains the attitude of yatnyam in life. Yatnyam means to sacrifice one's life for the sake of others. To such a person, these things happen. And material nature is not like a substance like concrete. It's not a concrete. It will not work. Prakriti or material nature will not work according to a science or our modern science. It's not rational, in other words. It is the most irrational thing and the most illogical thing. This material nature is the most irrational thing and most illogical thing. Because if you believe it is rational, it will show as if it is rational. So that you will get trapped in that. This is one important thing. About material nature, we always think that that is why all this weather forecast is always going wrong. Because if we are trying to apply our rational in there, and when you apply rationality in the material nature, it won't work. It is independent. If you think it is rational, material nature will act as though it's rational, and you'll get trapped in that. So many things in this creation is like that. That not only weather forecast, so many other forecasts also, natural disasters and things like that. Even if you try to understand the principle behind it, still it happens. You have, and beyond your belief, things happen in this world. And so it is just to show to us that the only way Krishna says that life can be peaceful in this world is through yatnyam. There is no other way. Because recognizing that there is a law, higher law working behind everything, and that higher law is controlling our life very tightly, and knowing very well, and to surrender that false ego and to live in this world in a mood of sacrifice, Krishna is saying that becomes yatnyam. Otherwise, if you ask all the great Mahatmas and the great devotees, they will have a lot of things to say about that, their own little experiences in life, how this yatnyam, the mood of yatnyam sacrifices, helped them in their life. How it has happened, that is not important, but it can happen. And this is why in Saundarya Lahari begins with this verse, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari, that this world outside is related to the world inside us. In other words, if inside is pure, the world outside will also react with us in the same way. If inside is full of material desires and greed and falsity and duplicity and all politics, then the world outside also you will feel in the same way. You will experience the world outside in the same way. Therefore it says, Vishwam, the world outside is a darpanam, is a mirror of Drishyamana Nagari, that it's a world which is also a reflection of the world inside, from the world inside. So if you say it is concrete, it will remain as concrete. It's just like if you give a feeling to the world that everything works according to your plan, then it is like that. If you say it is abstract, it will remain as abstract, the world outside. So according to the world outside is actually us, that is manifesting outside. And if inside things get sorted, then outside also things will get sorted. If one is willing to make sacrifice in life, then what will happen is that sacrifice itself is Brahmam. That is Brahmam. The ത്യാഗേനൈവ അമൃതത്വമാനശു, വൺ ഓഫ് ദ വൺ ഓഫ് ദ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെൻറ്റ്സ് ഇൻ ദി ഉപനിഷത്സ്. ത്യാഗേനൈവ അമൃതത്വമാനശു, ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്സ്, അച്ചീവ് ഇമ്മോർട്ടാലിറ്റി ത്രൂ സാക്രിഫൈസ്. യു അച്ചീവ് ഇമ്മോർട്ടാലിറ്റി ത്രൂ സാക്രിഫൈസ്. ഓൺലി ഡ്യൂ ടു സാക്രിഫൈസ് ദിസ് അമൃതാനുഭവം ഓർ എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് നെക്ടർ, നെക്ടർ ആൻഡ് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ഹാപ്പൻസ് ദെയർ. So in other words, the world, the life itself is yasvarupam. One has to make one's own life as yajnam. So in order to make life as a yajnam, rishis, the sages have given as a way in the Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is based on this principle of yajnam. whatever we do as a yajnam in this world, it goes into the material nature, and it goes and joins each element in the material nature. All these elements are different deities, predominating deities. The sun, the moon, the stars, they are all deities. They are all deities. That's why the modern historians say that initially people didn't have a concept about God. They are saying that they were worshipping all the sun, moon, and the trees, the rivers, and other things, right? And they're saying they have progressed and eventually they came into the understanding of a person as a god. This is spoken very much in other religions. That pagan religion, they call it, isn't it? Pagans, in the Christian tradition, they say like that, about the pagans. Pagans means who worship the forces in the material nature. But this is misunderstanding. They had a higher understanding in the sense that even in those material elements, even like the sun, in the moon, in all of them, Krishna's presence they have recognized. That's why if you look into the Vedas, most of the prayers are addressed to the sun planet, to the moon, to the Varuna, the predominating deity of the water, the fire god. Hundreds and thousands of verses and the hymns are addressed to them, not to this person, any personality like that. Why is it like that? Because all of them are predominating deities. Krishna is present in all of them, in all these. And Krishna's creation is so complete that all these things together can exist peacefully if the relationship is proper, each other. Now, if you say, when we say that there is Krishna's presence there, does not mean that that deity will appear in front of us with four-handed form, with conch shell, disc, lotus flower and club. That's not what it means. What it means is that they are just like we all have a super soul inside. The sun has a super soul inside. The moon has a super soul inside. Water has also a super soul inside. Fire has a super soul inside. So therefore, all the Vedic mantras, they glorify all the deities in all the presence, Krishna's presence in all these different elements. So they were not songs just sung because they were frightened of these elements. No, not out of fear. The sages, they had no fear at all. That's why they could go and live in the forest in the middle of all the wild animals. They lived there. Very peacefully they conducted their business. But what it is that they have recognized the Krishna's presence in all the other elements in this world. If you keep on putting logic into it, you won't get an answer to all these questions. All these are deities and they are the deities in the material nature. How do they get their pushti? Pushti means their pleasure. What they get from, if we perform yagam or sacrifices or yajnam, they will get that. Not in the gross form, not in the sthula form. But they get their benefit and you can't inquire that from with your science. In a scientific way, if you try to understand that, you will never understand that. The moment you extinguish your ego, they get rejuvenated. That's how it is. That when you serve them without ego inside, they get rejuvenated. You will see in the Ramayana, Sri Ramachandra, before he crossed the ocean, he's praying the sun god. He's glorifying sun god. It is called Aditya Mandram. Sandavanashakaraya Namo Nama. It's a whole series of prayers glorifying the sun god. Then he glorifies the god Varuna in the water. So if Ramachandra can do that, there must be a reason behind it when he's doing that, isn't it? what is the reason behind it? Every activity what we do in this world, when it is free from false ego, there is a certain flow of the spiritual force from us, which actually is eaten by this, which is consumed by the different elements in this world. This is the subtle understanding of that. Whenever our activities are without false ego and without expectation of results as a sacrifice, yajnam, in this world, there is a certain amount of spiritual energy flows from us, which is consumed by the different, which is consumed by the, which is consumed by the different devadas. This is what this yajna-havisa, what we give to the other deities. It's called havisa. It's called yajna-havisa, given to the other devadas. So you may see, in all the big sacrifices, all of them have a share, isn't it? All of them have a share in the sacrifice. And this share, which is offered in the sacrifice, goes to them. How does it go? It goes through that the false ego is surrendering. That is the principle behind it, the sacrifice. And it is the sacrifice that is the yajna-havisa. And everything, when it is given like that, what that devadas or the predominating deities of the material nature, whatever they give it to us, will also be a nectar, will also be nectar. Everything in the material nature will be a nectar. And per person who has developed this consciousness, for him, everything that is happening in the material nature is also samadhi. Also samadhi. For example, sun rising. One great sannyasi, he goes in front of the Himalayas and he is saying this. When he sees Himalaya standing there in all its glory, covered in the snow and the huge mountains and peaks, he goes into samadhi. He experiences samadhi from the material nature. And similarly, the rising of the sun or the moon or the flow of the wind in this world, the flow of the river, and when the tree starts giving flowers and fruits, when a baby takes birth, and the baby when he sleeps, when you watch all these things, he experiences samadhi in that. Why samadhi? Because these things are done by material nature. It's not our effort, isn't it? Why does this is the response of the material nature to the life we live in this world. When somebody sleeps and wakes up, it is samadhi. And even what to say, the relationship between man and woman, when somebody sees that, is a samadhi comes to them. Valmiki's experience, probably you know, before he wrote Ramayanam, how did he write Ramayanam? In samadhi state. But what was how did samadhi happen? He saw two cruncher birds sitting together and they were experiencing happiness together. And suddenly his samadhi was disturbed when the hunter came and shot an arrow and one of them died. And that woke him up from samadhi. That is what the beginning of Ramayanam is like, that with this verse. So you can see that he was experiencing samadhi in the material nature. How different living entities are living very peacefully within the framework of the material nature, because through yajnam. Through yajnam. That is why it says here, if there is no personality inside, in other words, false ego is not there inside, everything is brahmam. Krishna's presence will be known in everything. Yatra yatra manoyadi tatra tatra samadhayaha. Wherever the mind goes and settles down, there one will experience samadhi. In other words, there is no experience of sense enjoyment in that, because it's all based on sacrifice, tyagam. Even our daily life will become spiritual life in that way. This is all expected from us, but today it may not be happening that way. That is another reason. But traditionally, in the villages, when spiritually advanced people, they lived in this consciousness. They lived in this consciousness. All that, we have lost it now. We can't even understand it, what we are talking about. these things are unknown to most of the people now. For them, everything is everything is based work based according to their law, what they have created. They don't respect material nature anymore. They don't believe in that, number one. Number two, that they don't believe that there is a superior power controlling our existence in this world. So, but for a realized person or who has seen things in this world through the eyes of Bhagavad Gita, particularly this verse, Sahayatnya Praja Srishtva Puryavaja Prajapati Anena Prasavishidva Yashavostishta Kamathok. One who sees like that, for him everything in the material nature is a vibhuti. It's Krishna's opulence. And this secret of vibhuti, if you see in the Bhagavad Gita, later on that chapter will come, opulences. That itself is this ahangara rahidam. That means freedom from false ego and situated in yajnam. That stage, when you observe that, that is that vibhuti is that what we are seeing there. That we can only understand Krishna by looking at these different elements in the creation. Only if we look at them from a state of freedom from false ego. State of freedom from false ego. And that, therefore it says here, continuously perform sacrifice. And in other words, do things in such a way that freedom from the selfishness. Freedom from selfishness. You will notice all these statements in the way. These are famous things. Madhra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Ajarya Devo Bhava, Aditi Devo Bhava. That means Madhra Devo Bhava. Then Vedas are saying like this, start from there. Because the first place to start this yajnam is from home, isn't it? Especially relationship with the mother, relationship with the father, and relationship with the acharya, relationship with the guest. All this is convert that into a yajnam. Father, mother, acharya, guest, everybody. Guest is someone who has come without being invited, without prior notice. Nowadays you have to fix appointment, isn't it, before you go in. This is very much accepted now, isn't it? In the past it was never like that. That you could go to see anyone anytime. Nobody will say anything. Why have you come now without a call, telephoning me up? They'll say like that. But what to do? This is what we are today. We are what we are. If you say that you are coming on such and such a date, then he is not Aditi. He is not Aditi. The word Aditi comes from this, that one who comes without looking at Tithi. Tithi, you know, from Pratipadam, Didiya, Tritiya, Chaturthi, like that it goes. The 15 days of the waning moon and waxing moon. So, when you are going to visit somebody, you are normally, or when you are going on a good in a visit to somewhere or something, generally people look at the Tithi. Some Tithis are good, some Tithis are bad. That's another thing. But one thing is that one who doesn't look at Tithi and comes, just walks in suddenly, he is an Atithi. That means he has not looked at Tithi, he has walked in Atithi. But therefore, we don't have any Atithis anymore. All comes properly, phoned up and fixed up appointments only. And and Atithi comes home, and if he is fed, even we have not prepared food for him, but the food was there at home, she was cooked for us, you should offer it to him. And if it is done like that, Krishna says there that it is Atithi Yajnam. It is a sacrifice for that purpose. Wherever we get an opportunity to serve others, mother, father, and other relatives also, if there is a chance to serve them, we should serve them. No chance should be wasted. But that chance, what is given to us, is the worship of that living entity. Now, the chance should not be like that. We should not decide what that should be. For example, if mother wakes up in the morning, she is feeling very cold. Now, let me give her a good shower, and in the cold water, you offer her a good shower. That is not yajnam. That is not yajnam. Similarly, old people, father, mother, everybody, that they should be looked after. That is that worship. Eya tushyadi adhokshaje. Krishna is saying like that. How Krishna, who is present inside them, adhokshaja. Eya tushyadi. How he will get pleased inside, accordingly one should serve them. That is the secret. Whatever you do, what you will do will please that person and feel satisfaction. That is the worship of that living entity. worship of that living entity. Kapila Vasudev says this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When that person is pleased, it pleases us as well. There is nothing else required. You don't have to glorify them standing there. But if that gives them some relief inside for that living entity, that is a worship of that living entity. If we do something in whichever way it is, that if it benefits them, actually it is not they who gets benefited, it is us who gets benefited. The only thing is, the person who is doing it should not get this belief that I am getting benefited. Because if that happens, then it is done with motivation. One thing what we have to look at here is that actual austerity means what we may be thinking, that studying Bhagavad Gita, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, all these kind of things. But that even a tape recorder can do. If you record everything and you put the cassette on, the tape recorder will repeat Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But once it goes inside, in our daily life, it becomes a practice. All what Krishna is saying, that is proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Then that yajnam becomes tapasya, austerity. And when tapasya becomes, when it becomes tapas, Krishna will follow us in everything to make sure that everything is looked after. In each step, it will be looked after. That is what it is called. That Shraddha ceremony. Shraddha ceremony, generally we say, after a person's death, we perform the Shraddha ceremony. Isn't it? And but while living, this sometimes is very strange. While living in this world, we don't care for him. Full of ragadvesham, we have dealt with that person throughout life. After death, we go for his Shraddha ceremony or the cremation or the but throughout life there was no proper relationship with that person. Yeah, this happens in life. Quite often it happens. So that's what Krishna is saying here, that Shraddha ceremony is not like that. And that's why, and then what happens is, after the person is dead, we are frightened of him. Will he come back and haunt us later for all our kind of relationship with him, what we had? And anything goes wrong in life, then we start thinking, is he responsible for that behind it? So you get frightened of him afterwards, after the death. But on the other hand, while living, the person is living, you have a precious chance for spiritual development. When he was living here, that not only father, mother, everybody, with whomever you come into contact, with everyone, it is the same thing. First, those who are very close to us. That is why Vedas are saying, Madra Devo Bhava, Pita Devo Bhava, Ajarya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava, all these things. And it should not become emotional, that relationship. It should be done in a completely detached mode, purely freedom from selfishness. And that, what is good for that person, we should do that. And mother is saying to the son, Magan, get me a TV. The son says, mother says to the son, you should not buy the TV for the mother. Because it's not auspicious for that, because TV is not going to do anything good for that person. So that is not sacrifice. You have to know what is beneficial to that person and do that. That you have to know, who is doing it. You have to know what is beneficial for that person and do that. Not play for the sense gratification. Because somebody who is, because the person does not know what is good for himself, we have to know who is doing it, what's good for that person. For example, if you want to take your parents, mother, father, or anybody to a holy place, or to a satsangam, or to the temple, these are yajnam. That is yajnam. Taking to any places where that will do beneficial for that person. Get medicines for them. That is good. When somebody is sick, you can stay with them, do some service to them, offer them food, offer them clothes. But you have to see what is beneficial for that person. And ultimately, it should all lead to spiritual life. Only if it leads to spiritual life, it's beneficial. It should not simply stay on the platform of the physical state or mental state, but it comes to the spiritual level. So that is how one does Hitam means what is beneficial to other living entities. That is what is adhyatmiyam. Sometimes people say, this is in the temple it happens. People say, oh, he only comes to the temple to take prasadam. Nothing else, he says. So we shouldn't think that, oh, he's only coming and taking prasadam. At least he's coming for prasadam. That itself is a big thing. And in that process, by coming to the temple and taking prasadam, if something Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam goes inside, that is good. But at least if you had come and taken prasadam, that should give a satisfaction inside. Because that is also an opportunity to perform a yajnam. And that intelligence also we must have. We should not become clever. We shouldn't become clever in these things. But we should have the intelligence in these things, not clever. Cleverness is totally against spirituality. Cleverness is totally against spirituality. Cleverness means selfishness. Cleverness comes from selfishness. Actually, to find, exploit situation for one's own advantage, that is cleverness. That's cleverness. People do like that, isn't it? Different situations, they try to exploit it to their own advantage. That is cleverness. Intelligence is selflessness. Intelligence is selflessness. Cleverness is selfishness and pride. Both things are different. Cleverness and intelligence, they are two different things. Cleverness is dangerous for spiritual life, whereas intelligence is good. Though this is the way the understanding of relating with other people. cleverness is coming from rajasam. And intelligence is coming from satyam. That's the difference. Satvika buddhi, one who has the satvik nature, his intelligence will not force, make him to see what is good for others, and he will act in that way. That's the first thing. He will see things in such a way, is it going to do good to others or not? He will not see what is good for me in this. That's cleverness. That comes from rajogunam. The sattogunam will dictate to him in such a way that whatever I am doing, what happens to me is not important, but is it doing good to others? This he will think. And that is the subtle intelligence behind it, sushma buddhi behind that. So you can see here that all these Bhagavad Gita principles, when we want to apply that into our own life, if this understanding is not there, it can all go in the wrong way also. Sahayatya praja srishtva puryavaja prajapati anena prasavishidva eshavestu ishtakamaduk. Then ishtakamaduk should be such that without any selfish motive, it has to be done. Completely free from selfishness. Secondly, whatever we do, is it reaching, benefiting that person spiritually or not? This also should be borne in mind before doing something. Before doing something. So many factors to be taken into account. This is all coming from the intelligence. Intelligence that's coming from sattugunam. it's okay, let me please my mother. I buy her a TV or take her for a movie or go to some place where there is a nice restaurant to eat food. These things are wrong. That's not allowed actually, because it's only degrading that person. It's not doing anything good to them. On the other hand, or somebody who has got diabetes, you buy him a lot of laddus and jalebis and offer it to him. Come on, enjoy it now. You can only enjoy now. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about diabetes and all. Enjoy it when you can. This is sentimentality. That is not hitam. Hitam means knowing very well what is good for that person and offering that. That is hitam. And otherwise, it will be simply killing them in this way. like a lot of things, what happens in the modern world is like this, isn't it? In the frame of relief operations, in the name of development, they go to all countries and disturb everyone's life there. This is what's happening. You can see that. And they go and tell them that, look, you have to industrialize. They are living in the village, in the countryside, in the forest peacefully. we go and destroy their life, telling them, no, you are not developed, you don't have the motorways, you don't have the television, and drag them to change their life. In that process, they get destroyed themselves. Isn't it? This is what development means. It's experienced in India very much like this. Big corporations, what they are doing, they are buying huge pieces of land and forests, everything, and they want to mine there in the name of development. This is done by big corporations. And they buy these villages and develop these villages for aluminium ore or copper or different. There will be always minerals all over, isn't it? All over the country you will find minerals everywhere. These corporations, they go and mine everywhere and they get rid of all the people who are living there peacefully. And these people don't know anything else. They cannot go anywhere else. It's happening in so many places now. It's been happening ever since this industrialization started in a big scale. So this is not yet. The reaction will come to that in due course. And you are not only given trouble to so many living entities. Peacefully they were living in the forest. Their lifestyle was different. They depended on the nature for their livelihood. They carried on with it. Why go and disturb them? But no, they have to be developed in the way we live here. The same thing. This is the sad side of the story. So, and Krishna is saying here, it will become, if we think what is good for others and act in the way, because all these things are coming from Rajogunam. Which one? This thinking that we are living perfectly, properly in this world. They should also live in the way we are living. And trying to convert their way of life to change into our way of life, this is Rajogunam. That is not what Krishna is talking about. What Krishna is talking about is, you don't need to develop others in that way. Do whatever do, always do in a small scale, not to do it in a big scale. This is the Vedic system. Vedic system is not big corporations and multinational system. It's always in a smaller scale, in a smaller level to do it. We'll come to that later. So if we do like this on a personal level to other living entities, there will be a responsibility in nature and there will be a yajnam in there and it will become tapas also. What will be the result of all that? Krishna says continuously your chittam will get purified. Chitta shuddhi will happen. We don't have to even do meditation. Meditation is not necessary. Constantly that happiness will fill inside and all the body will get purified. And the health will be there, mind will have the proper purification inside, and intelligence also will develop accordingly. When you sleep, you will sleep peacefully, and when you wake up in the morning, you will feel the happiness or the freshness of the morning. Once you live a life in that sacrifice mode, these are all the symptoms of that. Always fresh, freshness inside. And Krishna says here, that just like when we perform fire sacrifice, we say the smoke purifies the whole place. Isn't it? Smoke purifies. It may be or not, but when you execute a yajnam, a sacrifice in life, the fragrance that is coming from that, or in other words, what is that fragrance? Is a fragrance that is coming from the freedom from that false ego inside, and that will purify everywhere. And that thing is what Krishna is talking about as parasparam, mutually, a bhavana in the next verse. Verse 11. If you look verse 11, that's what Krishna is talking about. That the performance of sacrifice, and from that sacrifice, a purity happens for the whole environment, gets purified. And that purification, when that happens, Krishna is saying there, that purification will happen in such a way that everything gets purified, and that is Krishna addresses as parasparam bhavayanda in the next verse. We'll see the verse. Devan bhavayatanenam te deva bhavayantuva parasparam bhavayantam shreya paramavapsyatam Devan bhavayatanina te deva bhavayantuva parasparam bhavayanta shreya paramavapsyatha. Translation: the demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you, thus nourishing one another, there will reign general prosperity for all. General prosperity for all. Devan bhavayadanena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda shraya paramavapseda. Parasparam bhavayanda. Mutually, it is a mutual thing. Parasparam bhavayanda shraya paramavapseda. Krishna says here that when you perform sacrifice or people make their life as a sacrifice, there is a tremendous happiness that is coming from inside. Where is that coming from? Because it was executed without any false ego. And because it was done like that, it purifies the whole environment. Purifies the whole environment. That devan davayadhanena te deva bhavayanduva. Worship the demigods in that way, through these sacrifices. And in return, that demigods will supply you in the form of rain, in the form of sunshine, and in all times, according to the particular season, and whatever we need, it will be returned back to us. Every element in the material nature will have its impact on us. Sometimes we say, prakriti kshobham. In other words, sometimes things what's happening in the material nature, isn't it? Like earthquake, floods, these kind of things. It not only happens inside, it happens outside, it happens inside as well. And when there is this, like earthquake, floods, and cyclone, and drought, and things like that, it happens outside. A similar impact from the material nature happens inside, and that affects our health also. That affects our health. Prakriti kshobham means dhadu. Dhadu kshobham. That means that when the dhadu, dhadus are different things which creates this body, isn't it? Like blood, muscle, and nerves, all these kind of things. When they get affected, digestion, fever, flu, and all other things happens to us. If our relationships with the material nature is proper, these things should not happen, according to Krishna's words. What Krishna is saying there is that accordingly, how you treat the material nature reacts in a similar way towards us. If you barasparam bhavayanda, if you offer to the devatas what is their due, if that bhavana is inside, or that mood is inside in a person, shraya paramavapsyadha, just by that alone, the life will become very pleasant. Every day will become happy. Because every day is a yajnam. Every day is a yajnam. And every day is a worship of the other living entities and the creation, material nature. That is what is spoken in the next verse. Verse 12. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva.
Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva.
Dasyande yajna bhavita.
Dasyande yajna bhavita.
Tairdattan apradayebhyo.
Tairdattan
apradayebhyo. Yo bhungte stena yevasam. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva.
Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva.
Dasyande yajna bhavita.
Dasyande yajna bhavita.
Tair dattan apradayebhyo.
Tair dattan apradayebhyo.
Yo bhungte stena mevasam.
Yo bhungte stena mevasam.
Translation. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajnam, sacrifice, supply all necessities to man. But he who enjoys these gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Stena. Stena means thief. The word used is, Krishna says, thief. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva dasyande yajna bhavita tair dattan apradayaibhyo. Yo bhungte stena evasa. So, Krishna says that by sacrifice or by yajnam, demigods will give us what we need. Material nature will keep on giving us different things. Actually, strictly speaking, for what we are doing now, even it should not rain, isn't it? It should not even rain. Rain shouldn't come, because that's the way we are dealing with the material nature. without giving to the material nature, what is due from us to them, we keep on taking from the material nature by exploiting the material nature, and at the same time giving pain and to all other living entities. And in other words, whatever material nature is providing us, simply enjoying that, Krishna calls him as a thief. Stena evasa. He is nothing but a thief who is taking from material nature but doesn't give anything. It's a very heavy word to say like that, isn't it? So, what Krishna is saying there is that he is stealing everything from the material nature, from the prakriti. And in return, he is not giving anything back to material nature. The material nature is not at all taken into account in our calculations now anymore, isn't it? It's not there anymore. If you go back, and I don't know, even now it is possible, it happens. I have also seen this, that's what I'm saying. That before they cut the tree, they will ask for permission from the tree. It's quite common. You may not know it, but the people who are cutting the tree, they know it. Carpenters know it. And they, if you tell them that a particular tree has to be cut, because they know when they cut the tree, there are other living entities on the tree, like the birds. And they have to make sure that they have another place to go to. And sufficient time is provided and food is provided for them for this purpose. So we may say like this, that when we worship the tree before it is cut, we think, oh, what is this? We bring the saw, cut it straight away, say, what is there to do all this puja for the tree? Very looks, but that is that the thinking behind it is this. That respecting the material nature in that way, that only after even the birds on the tree were given another shelter where they could move into, they will cut that tree. And several places you will see, they'll build it either around the tree. If they can avoid cutting the tree, they will not cut it. But that's all gone now. Now it's motorways, big diggers heavy earth moving equipment, they come and start doing the work, and nothing is taken into account anymore. All that samskara is gone, completely going away from this world. And those who respected the nature, especially older people, you could see how they cared for all these things and the respect they had for the nature. Now that's, and then we want to have bhakti, because this is our, in the middle of all these things, we are talking about bhakti. What bhakti is there in this to look at? Not to upset the balance in the material nature, that is important. And everything works according to some plans, Krishna's plan. Every other living entity, they should be allowed to live in their particular position. Now, in India, what's happening is, because there's a lot of street dogs everywhere, the municipality or the corporation people, they come in the morning, because in the morning they come out, and they're barking everywhere on the dogs. They catch them all and take them and kill them. All these street dogs, they say they are, and they breed also like anything. So, all these things have happened because a lot of disturbances in the society has happened. There is no consideration anymore for other living entities. It's only our selfish happiness. Nothing else in this world matters. How we are happy. Whatever needed for that, we'll build. Whatever required, we'll do it in this world. This is the mentality. So what to do? So the result is that you have to give pain to so many other living entities, crush them and get rid of them from this world. And then we'll go and look for, oh, that species is going to finish now. We have to get one of them and bring them into the zoo and develop them here. All these sorts of things. So if we upset this, the balance in the nature, Krishna is saying like that. If you upset the balance in the nature, then it will upset the whole balance. There's a whole balance in this. Just like if you look at that Indian export market, I'm saying, so many things are exported from India for various, wherever there is money to be made, they started doing that. It was never done before, but it's happening now everywhere. that frogs, they found that there's a market for the frogs in the West. Somebody, it's a delicacy somewhere, I don't know who is eating them, but as soon as they found that, they started going to all the fields and catching all the frogs in the night. Because in the rainy season, they make the noise in the fields, isn't it? So they go and catch all the frogs, and the whole bag of frogs are taken away from the field. Now, frogs are kept as a food for the snakes. Snakes, it's their food, you're taking it away. Naturally, snakes don't get the food. So they keep coming looking for the food into the houses, other places where human species lives. So in this way, we are upsetting the balance. And so then they found out that there is a market for the snakes also. The next thing. So they go and catch the snakes, because the snakes, what they call the skin, is used for making various leather goods, isn't it? The belts and from special bags and all kinds of things. So they found that it's expensive also sometimes. And so they start catching all the snakes and taking it away and selling them as well. So all these things, like this, various things are done in the material nature. When all the snakes goes away, there are different creatures in the nature that create havoc to the crop, which are normally eaten by the snakes or other animals like that. So if you keep upsetting the balance of this by our interference in that, it affects the crop also, and it upsets the balance in the nature also. So, little creatures, they come and eat all the grains. Normally they won't come because of the presence of the frogs, the snakes, and so many other things there. In material nature, one living entity is dependent on another living entity. That is also mentioned, isn't it? Ahastani sahastanam, apadani chatushpadam, phalguni mahadam tatra, jivo jivasya jivanam. Bhagavadam verse. It says there that ahastani sahastanam, apadani chatushpadam, that the creation is such, one living entity is good for another living entity. That's the way it's created. And apadani chatushpadam, that one who has no legs, and it's a food for those who have got legs. In other words, there are so many different living entities or creatures in the world who have the right to eat another creature. Like the cat eats the mice. It is its food. It eats that. You can't protest against that, saying that you're non-violence and all. Cannot apply there. Can't tell the cat, look, you be non-violent, don't eat the... can't tell the cat. Similarly, the same thing with the snakes also has its own food, kept for that. Because it has got its the snake's body, and material nature has provided a food for that also. So similarly, every living entity has been given a particular food already arranged for that. But Krishna is saying here, everything is dependent on each other. If you upset the balance of this, then and take everything from the material nature and without giving anything back in return, and continuously perform this violent attitude towards other living entities, Krishna calls him as a thief. He is a thief. And he should be given the punishment, exactly like a thief who is given a punishment. Because his life will never be perfect. He will never have any perfection. On the other hand, what will happen? That in him, the demonic nature will develop. That is what Krishna is saying. The demonic nature will develop in a person. And once the demonic nature has developed, then you can never say what will happen with that person. Sometimes we wonder why some person takes birth in this world and he turns out to be a big demon, isn't it? A big demon in a big scale. And he, just like you have heard about what we heard about Hitler, what you heard about Saddam Hussein and so many others, they have created so much misery for so many people. Why do they take birth in the first instance, such people? Why do they come with that mentality like this? This is because this Asura Bhavam develops in people like that to such level that he has to finish up. And there are people who have supported them in that process. So they also have to go through this same experience. So that is why when that Asura Bhavam develops inside, that is what Krishna is talking about in the next verse, in the 13. So Krishna says there that the yajna shishtashina santo muchyande sarva kilbishai bunjade tumakham papam ఏపచంద్యాత్మకారణాత్ యజ్ఞశిష్టాశినః సంతో భుచ్యందే సర్వకిల్బిషై భుంజదేతుమఖం పాపా ఏపచంద్యాత్మకారణాత్. Translation: the devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only the sin. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So, normally, when a sacrifice is performed, after the sacrifice is performed, what is left behind? In the big sacrifices, there is what is known as Havisa. Havisa is offered in the sacrifice. And after all the Vedic mantras are chanted, if something is left behind, Havis, that's also considered as Amrutam. It's considered as Amrutam. That is what Krishna is saying here. In another form, Krishna is presenting to us. That. What is that? After executing a sacrifice, sacrifice means tyagam. Tyagam means to sacrifice something. Whatever that is left behind is nectar. Is nectar. In other words, when a sacrifice is performed and it reduces our false ego inside, ahankaram inside, there will be an nectarian experience inside. Nectarian in santaha. Krishna uses the word santaha. Yajna shishtasina santo. Santo is a word coming from here. Of course, Prabhupada says as the devotees. Santaha. Krishna uses that. Santa means also sadhu. Sadhus means spiritually oriented people or religious in that way. Satta. All those words, different words. when our false ego goes away and our activities become a sacrifice to others, then that is a yajnam. And whatever that is left behind after the yajnam, it is the amrutam. So this is a very subtle verse if you look at it. Do not take that in its gross form, nature. Because it says here, yajna shishtasana sando muchyande sarva kilbishai bunjadetum akham papa epachandi atmakaranal. If you look at the first two lines, Krishna says, yajna shishtasana sando muchyande sarva kilbishai. After a yajnam is performed, what is left behind is amrutam, is nectar. So, you will see this in the 9th canto of Bhagavatam, where a lot of sacrifices are discussed, isn't it? In that 9th canto, there is a story there that Ambarisha Maharaj's father was Nabhagan. Nabhagan's father was Nabhaga. This Nabhaga story, if you read there in the Bhagavatam, you will see in the 9th canto that his father had many sons. So Nabhaga went to perform, to study at his in a guru's place, to Shastram, study Shastram. The other brothers at that time decided to get the father's assets partition to happen, and they all partitioned everything. They didn't keep anything for him who was away from there. So when he came back, he asked, what is my share? So others said, there is no share for you, but you can take the father as your share. They said to him like that. But he had this yajnam understanding inside. He knew that very well. So father told him, don't worry about anything. You go, there is a big sacrifice going on there. If you go there, whatever that is left behind there, after that you can have that, he said. So he goes to attend that sacrifice. You can read that story in the Bhagavatam. When he went there to attend that sacrifice was over, and what was left behind, all the golden pots, everything is the leftover. So he started collecting all of that and taking it home. So when he was collecting all that, a person looked very dark, came over and stopped him from doing that. So he said that this is my share, give it to me, he said. So this person said, Nabhaga says to him, that my father told me to take it, but who are you, he said. He says, I am Lord Shiva. So he hands over everything to Lord Shiva at that point, the same sacrificing nature, and pays his respects to him. Lord Shiva, pleased with him, hands over everything back to him and tells him to have everything. So that because he appreciated that yajnam nature in him, instead these brothers who simply wanted to grab everything from this father. So then he comes back and his father tells him that in a sacrifice when you go there will be they will be chanting the Vedic hymns. And somewhere in the middle they will forget sometimes. Certain things they will forget. At that time you help them because you have educated and help them and they will help you with everything which happened to him later on. That story you can read in the Bhagavadam. And so for a person who has this yajnik nature in him, tyagam, or sacrificing nature, or who is not greedy or selfish in his life, for him Krishna will provide that somehow from some source it will reach him, that what is required for him. So, yajna shishtashina sando muchyande sarva kilbishe. These are the mysteries of the life in this world. You never know from where it's coming from. From some source it comes. Yajna shishtashina sando muchyande sarva kilbishe. Krishna is saying that when you perform a sacrifice like that to other living entities or for the material nature in some form, there is a certain amount of pleasure that comes from the soul inside, and that is the amrutam, nectar, what you are getting from that sacrifice. That is the amrutam from that sacrifice. Bunjade tu akham bhava muchyade epajandi atma karanal. One who lives in this world only for himself, looking after himself, his own interests, te pachandi atma karanal. He is only verily eating the sin. Now here Krishna has spoken in terms of food. One who eats food, bunjadetu akhambhava epachandi atma karanal. One who eats food only for his own sense enjoyment, verily eat only sin. Krishna says like that here, isn't it? But this particular point that once you commit the sacrifice for something, there is a secret door that opens inside. There is some kind of anubhuti experience inside. And say coolness inside. That is what Krishna addresses here is yajna shishtashinaha. That not by eating food alone, in every sacrifice this applies. Food is only one thing that to be offered as a sacrifice to others. So it says there, you should not eat food for personal sense enjoyment. Isn't it? Who eats this food? Everyone eats in the world for personal sense enjoyment, isn't it? But actually, we are not meant to eat like that. In the Bhagavadam, how Krishna says that is, bhogai almanam almani, that the present Krishna who is present inside, he should be pleased with this food, what is going inside. If he eats in that way, that will become a nectar when it goes inside. You know the best example in the Bhagavadam for this? Jadabharata story. If you look there, you will see what happened to Jadabharata. Jadabharata was a realized soul, wasn't he? He was a realized soul. And he ate whatever was given to him, he ate that. And you will see there his brothers who engaged him to look after the field. He was sitting there. Because they were saying that he is not doing anything and he is demanding food. He is not qualified to have food. That was their logic. Why should we give them food? He is not doing any service. Why should we give him? So what they decided was, and he was jadam. Jadam means he was not at all capable of doing anything with the intelligence and the way the society wanted. Due to some higher reason, this has happened in his life, isn't it? Bharata Maharaj has come in that form. So they decided that we will engage him to look after the field, in the field. So when he was doing that, deliberately, these people, they will give him. What do they give him? The water that has come after washing the grains. after washing the urad dal and things like that, this is what that was given to him. Or when you wash the urad dal, the skin that comes out from the urad dal, these things were fed to him. And Bhagavatam Sukadeva Goswami says about Jadabharata in there at that point, whenever he was eating, he was thinking, this is what has been given for Krishna today. And with that consciousness, he was eating that. And when the food was going inside, Krishna was turning that everything into nectar. The food was turned into nectar inside by Krishna's arrangement. Amrutam, it says, it was turned into amrutam inside by Krishna's arrangement. Of course, that has happened to a great soul like him. For Jadabharata, this can happen. It can happen to others also. But if it is in that consciousness, if it is eaten. Because for him, Jadabharata, food was not important. If it was given, he will take it. If it didn't come, he will fast. That was his nature also like that. So, bunjadetum akham bhavam epa chandi alma karanal. Every moment we perform a sacrifice, we will experience something from that. Proper sacrifice, if it is done without false ego, and with the mood of sacrifice, if it's executed, there is an experience which comes from that. And one who is eating that, one who is experiences that, he gets released from all sinful reactions. That is Krishna's point. So, it is not that externally you may take it or not. One mother has given food to everybody, and only the food is left for the mother at home. Only the food is left for the mother. And she had many children. So the last son, he was not expected to come home that night. So he was far away from somewhere. But accidentally he turned up. And there was no food prepared for him that night. So mother very happily gives the food what was kept for her to that son. And mother will never think, oh, he has come and eaten my food. Will he? Will she? She will never think like that. So on the other hand, she feels a great satisfaction that at least he had come here and I was in a position to give my food to him. And mother will be happy to take something else if it was there and go to bed without without worrying about that she had to share the food with him. So how much feeling that mother had at that time while giving that food, there was a sacrifice there, isn't it? So when she did that, these are examples which are very close to the reality. When she did that, there is a great feeling of sacrifice inside for the mother, gets actually pleasure from that, isn't it? Rather than she feeling that he has come and taken my food away, she feels happiness from that. In other words, when she did that, there was pleasure inside, a priyam inside. And in return, Krishna gives that anubhuti to her. That natural way it has happened, the sacrifices happened. So result of that, there will be a great peace that comes from that. That is what Krishna calls it as the amrutam or the nectar. And that is what you get it from that. And even then, if she had eaten the food, suppose she had the food and she had eaten the food, she may not receive this happiness what she would have got by sacrificing that food for her son. So this happiness what has come in Tyaga book, not Bhoga book. Bhoga book means one who has eaten Bhogam. Tyaga book means one who had the Tyagam. Then that's what Krishna is saying here. Yatnya shishtashina santo. After making every activity in life as a yatnyam, and then if you take the remnants from that remnants, when you consume that from inside, there is a great pleasure that will come in a natural way. Those who have done that, they will know it. The happiness that comes from serving other living entities in the proper way. So, yatnya shishtashana sando muchyande sarva kilbishaihi. Bunjadetum akham bhava epa chandi atma karanal. Krishna says, sarva kilbishai muchyande. Therefore, execute yatnyam, Krishna says, and get yourself released from all kinds of miseries. And on the other hand, one who is doing it for oneself, everything, munchadetum akham bhava epachandi atma karanan. Why here Krishna has spoken cooking and eating food specifically? Specifically Krishna has spoken about that. Pachandi, the word, you can take it in any form if you like. Here Krishna spoke in terms of food. One who cooks food only for oneself and one who eats food oneself, only for oneself, he is called a sugaram. Sugaram means a pig or a boar or whatever that is. So one who cooks himself, eats himself. Sometimes in the ashrams this happens. You can observe that also. In the ashrams, what happens is that this is the thing. These are very subtle things in life. Mahaprasadam is offered. When Mahaprasadam comes out, first the pujaris wants to share it, to see what is our share, to make sure that their share is taken away. Instead of given to those who had come to the temple, it's being shared by the... And that attitude is not a very nice attitude. If it comes from, especially from the pujari's level, if it starts, it's not a very pleasing experience, isn't it? That's why it says here that bunjadetum akham bhava epachandi atmakaranam. That prasadam distribution time, if this consciousness is like this, then it is very difficult in the sense that sometimes in ashrams and all, somebody will bring a lot of fruits, a lot of sweets and something like that. So the person who is distributing the sweets or the fruits, if he, and there will be a lot of visitors also. So sometimes the ashram authorities or the senior sannyasis in the ashram will say they distribute everything to people who had come. Somebody has brought fruit, so give it to everybody else who had come there. So when that happens, the person who is distributing, sometimes, once it so happened, that first he thought out of the best fruits he has picked up a few and kept it for himself. First thing, that's what he did. And the remaining he started distributing. So one sannyasi was watching this. He saw this, what he did. So as soon as the distribution was over, he called him. He says to him, this is a sacrifice, is it? He says to him, is this your sacrifice? And sometimes, and same thing he repeated again when the sweets were brought. When the sweets were brought, in the process of distribution, he noticed that the sannyasi was not observing. So he took two sweets and put it in the mouth. Because he knew if you start distributing, there will be nothing left at the end. This is in India, you can imagine. There will be so many people will come in the temple and everybody will ask and you have to give them. Once you give them, there will be nothing left for you. So the sannyasi expected from the man who is distributing a higher understanding. He didn't expect that from public because they may or may not know this. But the person who is sitting there and listening everything day in and day out, so here the sannyasi says to him, what did you understand so far? Because if you had given everything to those who had come, from there, from that sacrifice, there is a certain amount of amrutatvam come from inside. You won't get that now. Why? You are attached to these two ladus or something, whatever you have stolen. You thought that you kept away for yourself first. In the temple ashrams, you will find this all the time happening. The people who are distributing, first they will keep, this is my prasadam, Prabhu, don't touch it. I kept it separately for himself first. Or those who are cooking also, they'll say, we have cooked so much. But in all temple kitchens you go, you will see this. First thing they do, they keep their portions first. And then who had come, because they know that they'll say, in the feasts also, big feasts, have you observed? You'll notice the same thing happening there. They'll make sure that they had their share kept separately for them. And when that happens, what they're missing there is that epachandi, what Krishna is saying here, bunjadetum akham bhavam epachandi atmakaranal, they will not get that nectar that they will get from that. This food is the best example for that because food touches everyone's heart, isn't it? So whenever food is distributed, those who are distributing, those who are cooking, if their heart is very good, eventually they will get that happiness inside. And that has to come from that sacrifice what they are making in cooking the food, in serving the food. And that happiness, Krishna says, is bigger than the food what you are eating in that situation. These are things which has to be taken wholeheartedly, otherwise it will not have any. But now it's all going away because it's becoming very much like a hotel business. You pay, you get it, otherwise you don't. This mood has come now and it is crept in very well at all levels. This is happening. And that's very sad to see that happening. So, yajnashishtashinasando muchyande sarvagil vishaihi bunjadetumakham bhavam epachandi atmakaranal. So, there was... sometimes, another occasion, one person, he was distributing and in the middle he'll put something into the mouth. He couldn't wait. He couldn't experience that. So, one day, the sannyasi says to him, "Now keep on giving like this," he said. "That in everywhere, then one who as soon as he came back, he told him, 'Bunjadetu makam babam epachandi altmakaranal.' He says because he has heard all these things and still knowing all these things, he was doing that. That's what upset him. So it is the sacrifice behind this. Is Krishna wants to remind us that this sacrifice mood. In everything what we do. That's what Krishna wants to remind us, and that's what you find in the next two verses. Annad bhavanti bhudhani parjanyad annasambhava yajnyad bhavati parjanyam yajnya karma samudbhava annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava yajnyad bhavati parjanyam yajnya karma samudbhava. Next verse also, just karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmal sarvagadam brahma nityam yajne pratishtitam karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmal sarvagadam brahma nityam yajne pratishtitam. So, first verse, the meaning, annad bhavanti bhudani parjanyad anna sambhava yajnyad bhavati parjanyo yajnya karma samudbhava. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi, brahmakshara samudbhavam, tasmal sarvagadam brahma, nityam yajne pradishtidam. Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. So, these two verses, verse 14 and verse 15, Krishna says here, these two verses are very famous. Anad bhavanti bhudani parjanyad anasambhava. So, what it says is that if you directly take the meaning, where does all the living entities come from? From the food what we eat, isn't it? Annad bhavandi bhutani. From annam, from food, comes bhutam, all living entities. And in other words, the food what we eat, the living entities come. And the food in the form of shukla shonidam, that means in the form of semen and the blood, enters into the woman's womb and takes the shape of a little baby, forms, the body is formed there inside. So from annam or from food, living entities come, isn't it? Living entities come. It is a food that is transformed into shuklam and shonidam in the form of semen and blood, which enters into the mother's womb and eventually develops in the baby's form. So where does the food come from? Where does the food come from? That's what Krishna is saying there. Annad bhavandi bhutani. Bhutam, all living entities come from annam. Parjanyad anna sambhava. Parjanya means rain. From rain comes all the annam. Food comes from the rain. And Upanishads will talk about it in different ways. This is a difficult verse also to completely understand it. You can't take that totally from a gross way. Gross in the sense that direct meaning in that sense. Because in Upanishads it says like this, that a living entity after death, according to its sinful or pious activity, it has to take birth in different field. And ultimately when its sinful activity and the pious activity comes to some maturity, or in other words, some stability in that way, it comes through that particular living entity, jiva, comes through the clouds, through the rainwater, enters into the grains, and through the grains it enters into the male's body, and then enters into the female body. This is how we understand normally, isn't it? That the living entity, after it has gone, after it leaving its one particular gross body, it has to go through a certain examinations according to its pious activity and sinful activity. In Pitralokam, all these things happen. And there, decision is taken what the next body should be, and the jiva has to come and accept another body. So while coming through the Chandramandalam, it's the lunar phase I refer to, and these are discussed in the Brahma Sutram in detail. A lot of things are spoken about it. How the living entity leaves the body and what happens after death, its passage through different places before it comes to Pitralokam, and what happens there, how decisions are taken, how it enters into the next body. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that it comes through this, and eventually through the rain, through the clouds, it comes through the rain to the grains, and through that grains into the male's body, and from the male's body goes into the female body, in that way. So, Krishna says here, this is one route, what is spoken, that from clouds the annam, food comes, because of the rain. Where did the clouds come? Yajnyad bhavadi parjanya, Krishna says, isn't it? Yajnyad bhavadi parjanya. Annad bhavandi bhudani parjanyad anna sambhava. Then Krishna says, yajnyad bhavadi parjanyaha. From yajnyam, sacrifice, comes clouds. Megham. Megham means the clouds. So clouds has come from yajnyam, from sacrifice. This is where the confusion is. People get confusion. Krishna is saying here, from yajnyam, the clouds come, which gives the rains to us. Yajnyam, Krishna says, yajnya karma samodbhava. From karmam comes yajnyam. So, annad bhavandi bhutani. Living entities come from annam, food. Parjanyad anna sambhava. From rain comes the food. Yajnyad bhavadi parjanyo. These two lines are more difficult to understand. Yajnyad bhavadi parjanyo. Yajna karma samudbhava. That is the two places, two things, what people find it difficult to understand. How does that work? That means, why is the problem? Yajnyad bhavadi parjanya. From yajnyam, sacrifice, Krishna says rain is coming. Yeah? And now if you look today, nobody is performing any yajnyam, isn't it? And rain is still coming. So people will say to you that, look, your Bhagavad Gita is all false. We'll get rain whether you perform yajnam or not. Where is the need to perform yajnam? This question will come. Yajnyad bhavadi parjanyam. And Krishna says, yajnam is yajnya karma samudbhava. That karmam is the source for the yajnam. Yajnya karma samudbhava. From karmam comes the yajnam. So, this karmam is the thing which we turns into yajnam, isn't it? In now Krishna's words, if you look before, Krishna has spoken that it is karmam that we transform that into yajnam. That's what Krishna has told us in Karma Yogam chapter, all the verses before. Karmam is the source. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Krishna says there in the next verse, isn't it? Karmam brahmodbhavam vidhi. That means brahmam is another meaning of karmam. Brahmam is also brahmam. Brahmam, he says, what does he say in the next verse? Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmal sarvagadam brahma nityam yajne pradishtidam. And brahmam is situated on yajnam. He says here that the Vedas are directly manifest to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. So, he says here that the yajna karma samudbhava, and then karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Karma comes from brahmam. Brahmakshara samudbhavam. Akshara Brahmam referred to. That means Omkaram. Tasmal sarvagadam brahma nityam yajne pradishtidam. Therefore, let everything is based on yajnam. Krishna brings it in that way. Now, if you look at it this way, then akshara samudbhavam. What is akshara samudbhavam as a meaning like this? Andaryami. Andaryami means a super soul inside. So, when we are experiencing Brahmam, when you perform a sacrifice, what you are experiencing is actually Brahmam. Brahmam realization is what you are experiencing. It's a very complex word, this is. Because those who are studying Bhagavad Gita very seriously, only for them, if we talk about the meaning of this verse, it will benefit. Because Annad Bhavandi Mudhani, the meaning is very clear. Isn't it? That means from the food, all living entities, they get the energy from that. Annad Bhavandi Mudhani. And where does the food come from? From the rain. That's also very clear, isn't it? Where does the food come from? From the clouds or from the rain. That's also clear. then it says, where does the rain come from? From yaga yajnam, from sacrifices. Yajnat bhavadi parjanyaha. This people will find it difficult to accept it. some people have given the commentary like this, that only from sacrifice yajnam is happening. I mean, strictly speaking, that yajnam or yagam, many places you can see it rains there still without sacrifices. Similarly, if you look into the sea, nobody is performing sacrifice there, isn't it? And it still rains in the sea. It rains there also. So, when we say to them, the question will come up that we have performed sacrifices, and due to the power of that sacrifices, only the rain has come. If you say that, that will not be acceptable. But the more clarity on this is given like this, that material nature is also engaged in yajnam. Material nature is also engaged in yajnam. For example, in material nature, if you observe, there is continuous yajnam going on. How? The sun, the sea, the wind, they are all a part of this yajnam. It's not only we are performing the yajnam, human society. They are also performing yajnam. Look at it this way. Sun is performing the yajnam by giving us the sunlight every day, providing it in the right time as per the system that is set up by Krishna's arrangement. He comes and supplies that. The moon does exactly the same thing. Similarly, the sea, the ocean also, and the wind. The sun and the sea, they cooperate each other in their yajnam. How? The sea supplies the water, sun heats it up and turns them into cloud. So there is a yajnam going on there. And the wind, the duty of the wind is to take the clouds to different locations for the rain. So between those material elements, the yajnam is going on all the time, even without our interference. We should never take it that we are the only people living in this creation. We are only a small part of that, the human species. But other living entities, the sun, the moon, the wind, the fire, the sea, they are all performing their yajna properly without being interference from us. They perform their sacrifice without any interference from us. And because they are performing that, we are still receiving this rain. We are still receiving this rain. Yajnyat bhavati parjanyaha. Sun is performing yajnyam. In fact, the Moola Mantram in the Vedas for yajnyam is addressing sun god. Sun god is addressed. So, imam vivasvade yogaha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam. Suryan, sun is performing yajnyam, so therefore he was qualified to receive the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. The first time Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to the sun god. Why? He was qualified. He was performing yajnyam. He was a good student, in other words. Therefore, he was given the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, the wind is performing yajnyam and distributes the clouds everywhere. That is another yajnyam. Similarly, all the elements in the material nature, they work together. They work together. Because these elements in the material nature, they are, without breaking their law, they are performing their sacrifices, and the result of that is we are getting this rain. Not because of purely by the by our sacrifices. Because they are doing their part properly, we receive them. So, this is a process. Yajnam is a process that is happening continuously in the material nature, in the nature. So, yajnyat bhavati parjanyaha. When Krishna says like that, we don't have to doubt about that, because yajnam is going on all the time. Now, we may say like that, if that's the case, why should we perform yajnam? That question will come. We challenge them straight away, isn't it? In other words, Krishna is saying to us, if you become in tune with them and also develop the same sacrificing nature like the other material elements are doing, it will do a lot of good to us. Krishna looks at the whole creation as not only from the human point of view. He sees this from the point of view of all other elements as well. So Krishna, when he speaks these verses, you have to take that also into account, because he is the absolute truth, supreme personality of Godhead. He's got the right to say that. He's the big boss, isn't it? So when he's telling us, he is taking into account all other living entities, not only human species, the other elements in the material nature. When they are executing, we will get rain because of the yajna bhavam, what they have got. All the other elements like the sun, the moon, they are also part of this creation. Whereas we have not thought of looking at things in that way. We are always looking at things from our selfish attitude. So that's why Krishna says there that samanya yajnam. Krishna says here, every devadas or the deities in this world are performing yajnam. The sun, the air, the ocean. And they are continuously doing that. And sometimes that is why even in the ocean the rain falls. And wherever it is necessary, the air takes the clouds there and get the rain. So material prakriti, material nature is also showing to us that this process is happening within them also. Without any selfish motive, they are executing that. And because of their sacrifice, the result of that is what we are all actually experiencing. So where did the yajnam come? Krishna says there that karma brahmodbhavam vidhi, isn't it? Sarvam yajne pradishtidam. In that next verse you will see there. So what does karma means? Karmam, if you look, remember, we talked about this before when we discussed Bhagavad Gita. What is karma means? Karma means chalanam. Chalanam means a movement. That's what karma means. In every action what we perform, in order to execute karmam, jadam cannot do karmam. Dead matter cannot execute karmam. In order that karmam to happen, there should be always the presence of chaitanyam, or living force behind it. And only when the living force is behind it, this karmam will happen. Any karmam will happen. Dead matter cannot execute karmam. Karmam is jadam. But in order to execute karmam, a living force is required behind it. So that's what makes it karmam. A jadam, it turns into karmam when a living force enters into that. That karmam can be in the form of a yajnam, or it can be in the form of selfishness. Yajnam means sacrifice. It can be either that karmam that living force is doing, it can be in the form of a sacrifice, or it can be in the form of a selfishness. So when that karmam turns into yajnam, from that karmam yajnam comes out. When the execution is done like that, it becomes yajnam. Where this karmam originated? Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi, Krishna says there, isn't it? Karmam has come from brahmam, brahmodbhavam vidhi. That means, what is brahmodbhavam vidhi means? Brahmodbhavam vidhi means that Vedas are the root of yajnam. Vedas are the root of yajnam. Therefore, Krishna says, know what is yajnam from Vedas and do that. That is the instruction. From Vedam, you should know what is yajnam and execute those yajnam. That is the power of the Vedas behind it. That means all yajnam has to be done based on the yajnam, based on the Vedic injunctions. What Veda says is proper, that should be executed. That is only then it becomes a yajnam. Otherwise, it's not yajnam. Therefore, yajnam is given the so much importance in the Vedas, isn't it? Whole of Yajurvedam is related to yajnam. Yajurvedam is from yajanam, comes Yajurvedam. Yajanam means yajanam, yajikya. Yajikya means this is executing constantly, making everything as a yajnam is what the Yajurvedam does. Yajurvedam is a hymns related to that. So, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi, that brahmodbhavam vidhi, in order to execute karmam, behind that chaitanyam or living force is necessary. What is that living force? It's brahmam, isn't it? The living force is brahmam. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. And in Brahman, when there is a movement, that becomes a karmam. The living force in everyone is a part of brahmam, isn't it? Aham brahmasmi, we say. So, in that brahmam, when a movement happens, that is what turns into chalanam or karmam. So that's why Krishna is saying there, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. You see the connections. Annad bhavandi bhutani, parjanyad anna sambhava, yajnyal bhavadi parjanyam, yajnya karma samudbhava. That is clear, isn't it? Annad bhavandi bhutani, simple. Parjanyad anna sambhava, straightforward. Then yajnyal bhavadi parjanyam. So we saw who performs that yajnyam. The elements are performing that yajnyam, the result of that. Parjanyam, rain is coming. And then Krishna says, yajnya karma samudbhava. Yajnyam is coming from karmam. Karmam is the cause of yajnyam. And where is karmam coming from? Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Karmam is coming from brahmam. Karmam cannot happen without in the absence of brahmam. Brahmam means chaitanyam, the living force inside everyone. So that's what creates the karmam. So that karmam, how do you experience that? That is why akshara samudbhavam, that means this akshara samudbhavam, these are very subtle things what they are talking about. That Krishna is saying here, every movement in the brahmam is a karmam. Every movement in the brahmam is a karmam. But in order to experience that brahmam, you have three things actually Krishna has spoken in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. If you remember, kshara purushan, akshara purushan, purushottama. I don't know whether you remember these things. In the 15th chapter of Yoga of the Supreme Person, three things Krishna has discussed. Kshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha and Purushottama. Three things Krishna has spoken here. So, Krishna there talks about that in Bhagavad Gita itself, the meaning of that. Aham Kshara Purusha is the Bodha Swarupam or Jiva Swarupam. Aham is that Prajna inside. Not the jiva consciousness, but the consciousness that I am Brahmam, I am soul, I am spirit soul. That consciousness, not the false ego inside. Not the false ego inside. And Krishna calls it as Aksharam, Akshara Brahmam. And beyond than that, the Paramatma form, that is what is present there. Akshara means that is inside aham, 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 all that spurti inside. Spurti means always that experience, I am present inside. And if we give attention to that Akshara Brahmam inside, Krishna is saying here that that every karmam he execute, that means in full realization of our spiritual identity, if we execute the karmam and if we give our attention on that, all our activities will turn into a yajnam, will turn into yajnam. Then Krishna says, tasmal sarvagadam brahma. Therefore, this brahmam or experience of that super soul, or in other words, realization of the truth is dependent on yajnam. Is dependent on yajnam. Okay. Krishna says that the, in that verse, on the second verse, verse 15, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmal sarvagadam brahma nityam yajne pradishthidam. This is the verse, isn't it? This is that verse. Karmam brahmodbhavam vidhi. That much is clear, isn't it? What does that mean? Karmam happens due to the presence of living force there. Without the absence of living force, karmam cannot happen. There is no karmam. When the living force is there, only then karmam happens. Isn't it? So that's why Krishna says, karmam brahmodbhavam vidhi. Then he says, brahmam akshara samudbhavam. So akshara samudbhavam, if you want to understand that, you have to go to that 15th chapter. Krishna talks about three things there. Kshara-purushan, akshara-purushan, purushottamam. So three things are spoken there. And he said that there also that the Supreme Personality or the Yoga of the Supreme Person, as it is translated in the Bhagavad Gita, that is the experience of the super soul, Paramatma Anubhavam. So akshara brahmam, brahmakshara samudbhavam. Samudbhava means, if you look there, directly manifested, the word translation given there, that Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, you see that word, all-pervading transcendence. That's a little hard word to digest. What does that mean? All-pervading transcendence. That means these three things. Kshara-purushan, Akshara-purusha, Purushottama. We will not discuss these three now because they are in the 15th chapter in depth. But those three combined together is this all-pervading transcendence. What Krishna is trying to do. If you look into that 15th chapter when we discuss that, Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha, there's a long discussions about that. What is Kshara-purushan? What is Akshara-purusha? And what is Supreme Person, Yoga of the Supreme Person? So those things, if you look there, you will see that the combination of all that is what makes this all-pervading transcendence. So, if you see there, you will see here that the all that is, in simple terms, if you put it like this, that whenever we execute yajnam, Krishna will give us the mercy. The mercy will come from Krishna. And not only that, continuously it flow from, that mercy will flow from Krishna continuously. As much as we are doing a sacrifice, because everything in the material nature is pleased with our attitude and our relationship with them, the material nature also becomes very supportive in our sustaining us in this world. And yajnam, Krishna says here, is auspicious. And there's also, Krishna talks about this in a different way. Krishna says here that there he talks about one wheel later, isn't it? He talks about a wheel, yajna chakram, it is called. From the rain, living entities come. From the food, living entities come. From the rain, food comes. And rain comes from yajnam. This is that cycle. This is that cycle. Cycle is this much. What is that cycle? That from food, living entities come. And from the rain, food comes. And rain comes, and from the rain, food comes. And the rain comes from sacrifice. This is that chakram Krishna says. This chakram, chakra means the wheel, we have to keep giving the force for this wheel. If you keep on supplying the force, every sacrifice we make is a force for that wheel to turn. And that will join the sacrifice what the higher living entities are performing. Higher living entities means the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all of they are also under the laws of karma. They are also there under the laws of karma, all these higher living entities. If we do not do that, what will happen? That is what's warning, Krishna warning in the next verse. Evam pravartitam chakram.
Evam pravartitam chakram.
Nanuvartayati haya.
Nanuvartayati haya.
Akhayor indriya ramo.
Akhayor indriya ramo.
Mokham partha sajivati.
Evam
pravartitam
chakram.
Nanuvartayati haya. Akhayor indriya ramo. Mokham partha sajivati. Translation. My dear Arjuna, a man who does not follow this prescribed Vedic system of sacrifice certainly leads a life of sin, for a person delighting only in the senses lives in vain. So, evam pravartidam chakram nanuvartayadi haya akhayu indriya ramo mokham parthasa jivati. So, Krishna has set up a system. And system is this, what we spoke in the last two verses, to make us understand. Krishna says, if you follow that system, you are covered, you are taken care. But if you step out of it and do things whimsically on your own, like we do today, Krishna says, akhayu indriya ramam moham parthasa jivadi. That jiva has to suffer through. That jiva has to suffer through. See, spiritual life is all about escaping from this wheel, isn't it? Of karmam. Karmam is the wheel that is binding us. So, in order to free from that wheel, Krishna talks about this process of yajnam. Karma yoga is nothing but that. The process of make it as a yajnam. That way, the karmam won't touch us, rather, karma vasana, all we talked about before, how the karma vasanas get extinguished inside by performing it as karma yogam, and in that way turns all karmam into yajnam. He says karmam becomes yajnam at that point. So Krishna is telling us, evam pravartidam chakram nanuvarta yadihaya. One who stays within this wheel and performs his part, his role properly, he is covered, he is situated properly. But if he breaks away, like the human society is doing, nanuvarta yadihaya, then the society has to suffer. That is Krishna's point. Aghayu indriya ramam. Because what happens then is indriya ramam. Indriya ramam means sense gratification. It will turn into sense gratification. Krishna says, mokham parthasa jivati. Such a life is a waste of time. In other words. So, karma yogam is very subtle thing also. That it has a very subtle effect on all of us. Isn't it? When it is not executed. Basically, all this chapter is talking to us only one thing. To make life a sacrifice. To give, make life as a sacrifice. And to come out of our selfish thinking. But to think about other living entities as well. And if it is executed like that, Krishna says, even then, studying Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, that alone will purify our consciousness. Because the goal of all this is to purify inside. Karma Shuddhi, Chitta Shuddhi they call it. Or karma vasanas goes away, chitta shuddhi happens, and at that stage, the spiritual knowledge, what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita, will naturally develop in a person, without being taught or studied properly through other means. It can naturally develop inside, because Krishna says himself, that tesham evanukambartam aham jnana jantama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dibena basvada. That jnana deepam, the life of spirit, the light of knowledge automatically manifests within him without any external endeavor. So when the knowledge is not happening inside, the only reason for that, the purity is not there inside. That is the reason what Krishna is saying. That's why all the Shastram, when we are studying Shastram, continuously purification is also necessary to happen inside. Only in that Satyugam or mode of goodness, that knowledge will work. Knowledge will happen to us. Simply by our endeavor alone, it won't happen. The Chitta Shuddhi is important. The purity inside is the thing what makes that happen. So that's why all the sadhana is directed towards us. But along with sadhana, if karma is not pure, then it won't happen. Sadhana is a process, it will remain as a process like that. But karma, which is executed by the mind, body, senses, everything, if that's not pure, Krishna is saying that the effect won't be there. Effect won't be there. So that can imagine that how Vedas very tightly controls the life of the followers in a proper way to live in this world, so that they don't break away and engage in sinful life. But that's another thing we'll discuss tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.